So we apologize, it's going to be a little bit shorter tonight than we normally are because of a whole variety.
You're the busiest person.
No, that's definitely not true. Baruch Hashem, I'm not. But I want to get right into it in Parshas Truma. So the Hakdama to Parshas Truma is a Gemara in Megillah Davav Amud Beis. The Gemara in Megillah Davav Amud Beis tells us Ein Bein Adar Harishon Adar Hasheni Ella Mikra Megillo Matanas La'evyonim Bilvad. That the only difference between the first Adar and the second Adar is what? Is the reading of the Megillah and Matanas La'evyonim, meaning that in Adar Sheni, in the second Adar, you read the Megillah and you give the gifts to the poor, and you don't in the first Adar. But otherwise, the two Adars are the same. So many Mefarshim, and this is something we discussed 3 years ago in Tavshanai and Gimel, I saw in my notes, this idea, but we're going to take it in a little bit of a different direction, that this means that regarding the what the Gemara in the end of Tanis tells us, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, that it's really the same. That just as in the month in which we celebrate Purim, Mishnichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha, when Adar comes in, we have to increase our joy, so too in an Adar Rishon, even though we're not celebrating Purim in this month, there's still an idea of Mishnichnas Adar Marbin Besimcha for the month of Adar Rishon, the first Adar that we now find ourselves in. So what does this mean? In the first Adar, that in Adar in general, we have to increase our joy, and how do we connect to it? Specifically in an Adar Rishon, we're not having Purim in 2 weeks. If we were, some of us would be very happy, some of us would be very nervous, right? Right, some of us would be already cooking for Pesach. That's what I said. Some of us would have different hachanas already. But I think that there's a beautiful idea regarding what really the simcha of Adar is. So many Svarim Hakdoshim point out that really the Mishnah doesn't only say Mishenichnas Adar Mar B'Simcha. What's the counter to that? Mishenichnas Av Mima'atim B'Simcha. That when Av comes in, we have to lessen our joy. So to understand why you have to be happier in Adar, you have to understand why Av is a time of lessening of simcha. And why is Av a time of lessening of simcha? Because what happens in the month of Av? The month of Av is Churban HaBayis. In the month of Av is we once again, if Chas V'Shalom, the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, we re-experience Churban. We re-experience the feeling of being rejected by Hashem, of being pushed away from Hashem, of recognizing what Revolbi refers to in Alei Shar as the Moed Shel Richuk. Tisha B'Av is a Moed. It's a set time when we focus on how far away we are from Hashem. And it's an incredibly painful experience, Tisha B'Av. And so if that's why Mishenichnas Av Nematim B'Simcha, if that's why when we enter into Av, we lessen our Simcha, what is the counterpart to that? Mishenichnas Adar Marbim B'Simcha. That for the same reason, when we come into the month of Adar, we have to increase our joys. We've said many times the famous idea of the Ma'ari Naim, that Adar, the word Adar itself, stands for Aluf Dor. Aluf means Aluf Oshalolam. God, Dor, lives in this month. What does that mean, that God lives in the month of Adar? So we know that one message of the month of Adar, of course, is Purim, is the story of Purim, V'nahafuchu. This was a time that the Jews were tittering, waiting for a destruction akin to a Churban HaBayis, if not worse. There was an edict throughout all the 127 countries and provinces under the rule of Ahasuerus that Lahashmin al-Harug es HaYehudim, that it was free season on the Jews, and they didn't know what was going to happen. And ultimately, V'nahafuchu, there's a total turnabout. Revach V'Hatzala, it was a time of incredible salvation, a time of incredible success, exhilaration of the Jewish people. So therefore, it was a time in which we saw that ultimately, Hashem is somehow behind everything. That's what the message of the month of Adar is vis-a-vis Purim. And the truth is, many tzaddikim say, it's the message of Adar not only from Purim, but also it's the message of Adar from the parshas that we normally read during Purim. Right? Because what is it that we normally read during Purim? We know that when we come to the month of Adar, there's normally a shift, right? As the Ramban says, that in the introduction to Sefer Shemos, this is a Sefer HaGeula. This is the book of redemption. So we understand how it's the book of redemption in terms of what? Parsha Shemos, Ve'era, Bo, B'Shalach, maybe even Yisro Because the purpose of coming out of Mitzrayim, Hashem tells Moshe, by the Sneh Bo'er Ba'esh, Paragimel, Pasuk Yud Beis, is that you'll serve me on this mountain. So, okay, so Yisro is still part, Kabbalah Satorah is part of Yitzias Mitzrayim. But how were Parshas Mishpatim, Teruma, Tetzava, Kisisa, Vayakal, Pekudei, part of Geula? So really, what is Geula about? What does it mean to be redeemed? Being redeemed isn't only coming out of Mitzrayim and getting the Torah, but really being redeemed in the truest sense is understanding what it is to have that relationship with Hashem. Understanding true redemption, true Geula means that you recognize who you really are, recognizing what it is to have that relationship. And in Parshas Truma, this Yisod is very, very evident when you come into the Parsha. And there are a few ideas to really talk about. Let's see which one we go with first. The first one, let's go with one of the last ones first. Okay, we'll go with one of the last ones first because it's such a beautiful idea. I don't remember who said it, but it's something to really share. And when you look at the actual making of the Mishkan, we understand the Mishkan is not merely some physical edifice. In the Mishkan is the mysteries of all of creation, right? Al Pi Kabbalah, all of the Kalim of the Mishkan, the dimensions of everything that's done in the Mishkan. There's so many drushes to be learned out from the Mishkan, right? For example, I mean, we know that the Malachos used to create the world, were used to create the Mishkan. So the Mishkan really is a microcosm to an extent of the entire world, the entire universe. And when we look at the Kalim of the Mishkan, paying attention to details teaches us very, very deep Torahs, reveals real secrets to us. And there's a fascinating thing when you look at two of the Kalim that are made a little bit different than everything else. There are two of the Kalim that are made differently. One of them, we know this about. One of them we know, it's famous, that when we come to the menorah, Vasisa menoras zahav tahar, what are we told? Miksha teaseha menorah. What does miksha mean? What does miksha mean? So the art scroll says, you shall make a menorah of pure gold, hammered out shall the menorah be made. If you look in Rashi, we're on page 450, 451, in the art scroll stone Chumash. Right, what does miksha mean? So if you look at Rashi, it says, miksha teaseh menorah shelo yaseh nechulios. Felo yaseh kaneh avenirseh ivorim ivorim v'achar kach yad bikem keder chatzorfim shakorin shoulder, like solderers. Elakula ba michaticha achas umakish bekurnus v'chotech bekli haumnos umafred akonim elach ve'elach. How do you make the menorah? You take a big piece of gold, and from this piece of gold, you hammer the piece of gold, you chisel out the piece of gold, but really, you don't make a piece of the menorah here, a piece of the menorah there, and then attach them, then put them together. The way to make the menorah is to take one big piece of gold and chisel it out. From this block comes a menorah. And then there's another keli, there's another vessel that's made in a similar fashion. It's Perek Chav Hei, Pasuk Yud Ches, page 448, the page before. Va'asisa shnayim keruvim zahav miksha ta'aseh osam mishnei kitzos hakaparis. What are we talking about here? We're talking about the keruvim. We're talking about the angelic figures, the innocent childlike figures that were on top of the covering of the Aron HaEdos. And these keruvim also, we're told, are made miksha. What does miksha mean? Again, here, look in Rashi, Pasuk Yud Ches, miksha te'aseh shelo ta'asem b'fnei atzmam, t'chabram b'roshei akaporis la'achar yasiyosam, kimas et sorfim shekorin shoulder, ela hatal zohav harbe b'tchilas asiyas akaporis, fika b'patish b'kornis b'emtza v'roshin bolten l'mala, b'tzaya keruvim b'blitas kitzosav. Right? How do you create the keruvim? Also, you take a big piece of gold and you beat the gold and you chisel away at the gold until what? Until you make these keruvim out of this block of gold. That's what we're saying. You don't make them separately and then attach them. Why are these the vessels that are made miksha? What does it mean that these vessels are made miksha te'aseh? That specifically first of all, what does it mean that it's that you just take the raw material and you don't make it in piecemeal, but that it's drawn out of the gold? it means almost as if it's like this was the essence of this piece of gold. The essence of this piece of gold was the menorah. The menorah is waiting to come out of this piece of gold. When you talk about the kruvim, this big piece of gold, you make the kruvim, you sculpt this piece of gold, you don't make it in piecemeal. It means that this was the essence of this piece of gold. The kruvim were hidden in this piece of gold, waiting to come out. Like a sculptor, you know, they can see raw material and they see what's hidden in this. Oh, you've never spoken to an artist or who works with clay. They see what's in this material, right? What's waiting to be drawn out. And I think there's something very beautiful, specifically that it's these two kelim that are specifically made miksha teaseh. Why? Because what was the kruvim? What were the kruvim? Not only were they representative of God's relationship with the Jewish people, and the fact that they were made out of a solid piece of gold highlighted the miracle. Because what was the miracle of the Kruvim? That when Hashem was happy with us, they faced each other. When Hashem was not so happy with us, so they were back to back. So herein lies part of the miracle. If they were made on separate pieces, and then the Tajik say, okay, they have like a, you know, some type of swivel underneath them, you know, someone's turning them around. No, they were made out of one solid piece of metal. The fact that they turn around is that much more miraculous. But we know what else was the Kruvim. We're told that Hashem's voice, Hashem's Shechina, rested where? Right in between the two Kruvim. And Hashem's voice came from the Kruvim and left the Kodesh Kadoshim and went to Moshe Rabbeinu. Meaning Hashem's voice spoke from the middle of the Kruvim. Right? What was the menorah? What did the menorah represent? We know the famous Gemara in Baba Basra, Daf Chafei. The Gemara in Baba Basra tells us in Daf Chafei that if someone wants wisdom, what do? Turn towards the south. Why turn towards the south if you want wisdom? Because the menorah was on the southern side of the Heichal, was on the southern side of the Ohel Moed, of the Kodesh, because the north was the Shulchan, menorah was the south, the Mizbeach Hazav, the golden Mizbeach, which, you know, is very interesting, its placement in Truma Tetzava versus Vayakal Pekuda, we've discussed in other times, but the menorah was in the bottom, so in the south. So if you want wisdom, you turn to the south, because what does the menorah represent? The menorah represents Chachma. The menorah represents Chachma, right? That's what we discussed in Chanukah. Why did the Yevanim specifically go out of their way, Timu Kol Hashmanim? They specifically went out of their way to try and defile all the oil. Why? Because, what do you mean? Greek wisdom. That was the whole Vart. Your wisdom is no different than our wisdom. You think you have a God-given wisdom? Wisdom, it's all philosophy. It's all the human mind. It's the greatness of the human mind. They wanted to be metami our wisdom. To be metami the chachmas elokim. Right? The orelion that comes through the Torah. So this is, I believe, a beautiful message of the idea of miksha. That these two things of God's voice speaking to us, and the conduit through which Torah is brought into this world, they're both made miksha. You should know the fact that the Torah, the menorah was the conduit of Chachma. So I saw there's a beautiful, beautiful project taken on by the Talmidim of Rav Moshe Twersky, Hashem Yimkom Damov, one of the Rabbanim, the Chashav Rabbanim in the Harnov Shula, was killed in a terror attack, whose brother Meir Twersky is a reshiva at YU, grandson of Rav Soloveitchik, that he told his Talmidim once that whenever his grandfather, Rav Soloveitchik, he had a good pshat in a gemar, a good pshat in a rishon, he'd say, ah, kaftar v'ferach, kaftar v'ferach. And he said that this wasn't only his grandfather, many Eastern European gedolim, many gedolim of the previous generation, when they saw a good pshat, they would say what? They would say, kaftar v'ferach, kaftar v'ferach. What are kaftar v'ferach? Kaftar v'ferach are the kaftorim and the prachim, the like the knobs on the way the art school trips. I thought it's more of the balls and the flowers that were designs on the menorah, page 451. Why would Rav Soloveitchik say kaftar v'ferach? Ah, kaftar v'ferach, if they liked the good pshat? Because even now, what were they saying? That this is a real pshat. This came through the menorah. That's where Moshe Twersky said pshat was. So the menorah is the conduit of Chachmas Hashem into the world. The Kruvim is the conduit through which the Dvar Hashem would come into this world. The Shechina goes down to the Kruvim, and the voice of God emanated from the Kruvim. And you know how they were both made? They were both made miksha. You don't have to break. It was inside the gold. It just had to be drawn out. you know what the message is for each and every one of us? You know what's inside of us? Dvar Hashem. God's word is inside of us. You know what else is inside of us? Torah Hashem. These aren't external things that we have to hoist on ourselves. These aren't burdens that we're taking externals and throwing them over our shoulders and carrying it. This is who we are in the deepest sense. When a person learns Torah, when a person connects to God's word, a person finds personal fulfillment. A person finds joy. A person finds real simcha. Because why? Because inside is really the Dvar Hashem. Inside each and every one of us, as the Baal HaTanya and others explain, is the Nitzotz Elokim, is a spark of godliness, a Chelek Elokam Mimal. When Hashem blew right into our nostrils, into Adam Arishon's nostrils, to create the first human being, when a person breathes, they breathe from their innermost essence. So that's why Dafka, the Kruvin, that Dvar Hashem came through them, Dafka, the menorah, which is Torah Hashem, comes into the world, they're made miksha. They're not made from pieces, but rather they're fashioned from this block of gold itself, waiting to be uncovered. Inside each and every one of us, Dvar Hashem is waiting to be uncovered. It's like the famous Maimer Chazal, that there's a bas kol each and every day that comes out from Har Sinai, exhorting the Jewish people to pay attention to Torah. Right? Did you ever hear the bas kol? Right, the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, you know how you hear the bas kol? Everyone hears the bas kol, whether you're attuned to it. There's a lot of stuff on top of the bas kol, whether we refine ourselves enough to hear the voice. It's a voice that's inside each and every one of us. This is what Aluf Dor means. This is what Adar means. This is what it means. That when in the month of Adar, only when facing sometimes great tragedy, only facing great nisyonos, are we able to move away all the layers that are on top, and we come to what the essence is. No atheists in a foxhole, right? Because when a person faces real tzara, when a person faces such a danger, so all the layers are stripped away and the essence is left. That, what is the essence? It's a famous Shlomo Karlbach Maisa that he tells over. That I know I said this in a drasha a while back, there was a professor of literature, English literature from Hebrew U, who was a virulent anti-dati individual. He used to write these op-eds in the papers against the religious community in Eretz Yisrael. He was really vehemently, you know, incredible vitriol spewing against the dati community in Eretz Yisrael. And one day he shows up at the door of a Rav in Yerushalayim, knocks on the door, the Rav sees him. He knows who he is. He goes, get away, like try to slam the door. The guy says, no, let me in. No, get away, you want to harangue me, you want to just make fun of me, you just want some quote you're going to take out of context in your next newspaper or article against Torah. He's like, no, I want you to teach me how to do tshuva. He's like, what? Why don't you teach me how to do tshuva? He says, what are you talking about? So Bekitzer Nimrutz, because we don't have time, because I want to get to the other part. I apologize, it's a short shiur tonight. But basically he said that he was in the first Lebanon War. At the time it was the only Lebanon War. And his tank was hit directly by a mortar. Other members in his tank were killed on the spot. He's lying there. You know, his neshama is leaving him. And he thinks, okay, this is it. So what does he want to think about? He wants to think about, his life was English literature. So what do you think about? I don't know, I'm not such a fan of English literature. I should ask my daughter. But maybe to be or not to be, I don't know. Maybe I think that's a big, no? Isn't that chashuv in English literature? The last time you did English literature, the last time I did English literature. Right? Like to be or not to be, that's the question. That's the question, right? Maybe something from Chaucer, who knows what English literature he's trying to connect with. And he said nothing at a time. What were his memories that was coming to him? Walking to shul hand in hand with his grandfather on Yom Kippur. Memories of Seder night years ago. Those were the memories coming back to him. And, you know, at that moment he said Shema and closed his eyes. And he woke up in Rambam Hospital in Haifa. Evidently a helicopter came, extricated him and the others out of there. And he said to this Rav, he said, listen, I realize now that who I am at the essence is a Jew who cares about God, who cares about the Jewish people. Shakespeare is nice, and Shakespeare is beautiful. He wasn't knocking Shakespeare's, but I know that's not who I am in my essence. I know in my essence what I really am. And that's why these are the two things that are miksha zahav, these are the two things that are beaten out, that you don't chop away and take pieces and put together and meld and, you know, and have to, you know, with fire. No, you're drawing it out from the raw material because that's who we really are. And there's a beautiful, beautiful Malbim in the beginning of this week's parsha that goes perfectly with this. It's something that Melech Biderman pointed out, that we know a famous question, v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. Right, you'll make for me a mikdash and I will dwell with you. Right, and that's a famous question. Why b'tocho in it? So clearly no b'tocham in you. But what does that mean? God is going to dwell in us. So based upon what we said about the Kruvim, based upon what we said about the menorah, we understand a little bit that really Mamish, inside of us is the Ribbono Shalom. What does that mean, inside of us is Ribbono Shalom? And the question is compounded according to some, because the next pasuk says, everything that I showed to you, the Tavnis of the Mishkan, and the Tavnis, the structure of the Mishkan, the structure of all the Kalim that I showed you, you shall make them, v'chein ta'asu, and so shall you do. You look in Rashi, Rashi says, v'chein ta'asu, quoting the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's a Gemara in Shavuos, l'doros. And this is what you should do for all time. Rashi says, if you lose any of the kalim, if you lose anything, so you know you have the directions, you have the instructions how to make them. But ledoros means even now. Even now. I mean, Mashiach's going to come tomorrow, right? So we'll need to know how to do them. So maybe that's what it means. But what about the generations, 3 generations ago, right? When Mashiach, Rachman al-Islam, didn't come. So what was the Lidoros then? V'chein tasu, so you shall do for all generations. So the Malbim has a beautiful, beautiful vart. What does the Malbim say? He says, everything that I show you, v'chein tasu, shekol echad yivne lo mikdash b'chadre levavo. And this is the Malbim, right? It was a linguist who was focused on literary analysis of the Torah. But when you look at it, of v'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'socham, k'chala sharani ma'areh al-socham, v'chein ta'asu, and that, Chazal tell us, means l'doros. What does that mean? How is it l'doros to build the Mishkan? How is it l'doros to build a menorah, to build an aron? So he says, v'chein ta'asu shekal echad, yibane lo mikdash b'chadre levavo, in the depths of your heart, ki yachin es atzmo lios mikdash l'ashen, u'ma'on l'shchina suzo. That you have to prepare yourself to be a sanctuary of God, uma'on, an abode for God's presence. Kemosha kasav Hashem l'David, Kemosha amar Hashem l'David, like Hashem tells David in Shmuel Beis, Perek Zayin, she'ata ba'atzmecha, he quotes a pasuk, then says, she'ata ba'atzmecha tia beis l'Hashem, right? That you yourself, Hashem says, you're not going to build it, but you yourself are a beis l'Hashem. That's what Hashem tells David. That you're a house for God. You're a place where God's presence rests. Uba'ofanzeh kein ta'asu ledoros. And this is what it means that we have to do for all generations. Shekol echad yibane mikdash b'chadre levavo. You have to build a mikdash in the depths of your heart. V'yachin mizbeach l'ha'alos kol chelke nafsho l'Hashem. And you have to prepare mizbeach. That inside is also supposed to be mizbeach. The Mizbeach is a place where you offer up all the parts of your soul up to God. Ad sheyimsar nafsho l'chvodo b'chol eis. Until you give over your soul for God's glory at all times. Right? Shechishev es atzmo sheula ola l'Hashem. Talking about Avram Avinu when he says, v'anochi ofer ve'efer. But what a beautiful Malbim. The Malbim says, when it says v'chein tasu, and Rashi saying l'doros, it means if Rachman al-Utzlan, Mashiach doesn't come tomorrow, it doesn't mean you're not supposed to build an aron. If Mashiach Rachman al-Utzlan doesn't come by Shabbos, it doesn't mean that you're not supposed to have a shulchan that you change the chalos on each Shabbos. But rather, we are supposed to build these things. We're supposed to build them inside in each and every one of us. And here's something that's such an important yesod, such a beautiful yesod that's expounded upon in the beyond the Malbim, that there was also something else very unique about the Mikdash. What was unique about the Mikdash? What was unique? The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that there were miracles happening all the time in the Mikdash. When you went into the Mikdash, you perceived God's presence. You saw everything that was happening was God's presence. That column of smoke just went straight up. The winds of Yerushalayim that could really be whipping, that could be wicked, that could be really cold. Now you remember those winds? No? You remember, you have to go back. When you go back in the winter and summer, very different experiences. In the winter, the Yerushalayim cold, it gets in you. No, you remember? It gets in you like nothing else can get in you, right? And then the stone buildings, there's no good insulation, whatever. Not to be Motzadah, Chas V'Shalom, and Eretz Yisrael. It's the best of the best. Eretz Yisrael will all be there, Bekar of Mamish. But it gets very cold, but that pillar of smoke would go straight up. People would walk into the Beis HaMikdash. They'd be blown away, like, okay, God's clearly here. You couldn't walk into the Beis HaMikdash and deny God. This is a beautiful Torah that, you know what? Your heart's supposed to be like a mikdash. Because no matter what winds are whipping around you in this world, you have to know that Hashem is here. Bilvavi Mishkan Evna means, just as God's presence was evident in the mikdash, just as God's presence was obvious to all when you stepped in your life, you should be looking to see that pillar of smoke going straight up. You should be looking to see where God is. God should be real. And this is what Adar is all about. And this is why even in Adar Aleph, when Purim is only going to be 6 weeks from now, the big Purim, the small Purim is in 2 weeks. Don't worry, you don't have to give shachmanis or anything. The small Purim is in 2 weeks from now, the big Purim is in 6 weeks from now, but the small Purim in 2 weeks, but the month of Adar is a month when we read of Truma, the second half of Shemos, that's all about Geula. Geula happens perhaps even more in Truma Tetzaveh than it's happening in B'Shalach, than in Yisra. Because this is where we understand it's not external. It's not these things that are hoisted upon us. This is who we are inside. And if you just dig down, if you just, as the sculptor, sculpt yourself, move away some of the natural material, you'll see Bilvavi Mishkanef. You'll see inside that inside our soul is really that chelik el kamimahel, is that spark from the Ribono Shel Olam. And this is what we're supposed to be doing. It's the last 2 weeks of Shovavim, but I'm really over time. I apologize. I have to bring my brother to the airport to bring him to Eretz Yisrael now. He's going back to Eretz Yisrael, one of my two brothers. The other goes tomorrow. Rav Dani's going back tomorrow. Rav Ari's here tonight. Yes, I apologize. I have to go. We didn't even get to the Chidush Elev, the great Vart Chidush Elev. So next year, Parshas Truma, remind me, we have to share Gevalt Chidush Elev. Unless I use it for the Drush on Shabbos, maybe. Maybe give me something to share on Shabbos. Okay. Have a good night. Yishkoyach.